May 11th, 2022. It's the What from Pedro Show.
Really enjoyed it, too. I sure enjoyed working with Mark.
Do you think that was a turning point, really, in your playing career?
Well, I don't know. I don't know whether it was a turning point. About that time, I made a decision, you know, like that. Myself, that's when I stopped drinking and all this. And I was able to play better right then, you know.
Did you used to drink heavily?
Yeah. So by the time that he started the group, I stopped drinking, you know. That helped me in all kinds of ways when I stopped drinking. I could play better, sing better, everything. And his music was stimulant.
Go!
Watt for Pedro show. It's our 21st birthday, right, Brother Matt?
Yeah. Congratulations. Happy anniversary.
We've been doing this now 21 years. So.
How many shows in that 21 years,
Matt? Oh, Christ.
They're all archived.
Yeah, they all are at twfps.com. They all are archived. I should tell people what we heard. First, we heard August Bloom talk to John Coltrane more about playing with Thelonious Monk. It's back in 1958. You can hear August Bloom's wife doing the dishes. And then we had Sex Pod with Go. And speaking of Sex Pod, we got Alice Hassan. Where are you talking to us from?
Well, we're in New Jersey. I live in Ocean Grove, New Jersey, and Pony lives in Asbury Park. So
I play there. A place called the Stone Pony.
Oh, yeah.
This is many years ago. It was with Porto for Pyros, which I might be playing with again next week. But it was like 25 years ago, 26 years ago.
That's killer.
Yeah, really.
Yeah,
really
the pony's great. Still kicking with great music.
Okay, and then I played some other places too, like, I can't remember now, Speedway or Thunderbird Cafe or the Saint.
The Saint.
Go there.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
And maybe the Fast Lane.
That's it. Yeah, rain came through the roof once, and we had to stop the show because it was dangerous. So I want to... I want to learn about your, so does Brother Matt, I want to learn about your journey through music. So, who wants to go first?
Alice, you can go first.
Oh, boy.
Alice, please bring your earliest musical memory.
My earliest musical memory probably was dancing at a camp that my father was the camp director of, and they set a lot of dance parties there, and I remember dancing to like the Jackson 5 and James Brown and Diana Ross and the Supremes and Gladys Knight and all of that kind of soul music. Those were my earliest memories of music that I can think of, and then I remember at one point my dad really digging Bob Dylan, and I couldn't understand it at all, so I was too young to get it. I was like, what is this that you're listening to?
Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Okay.
like, obviously genius, but I didn't get it at that point.
What about in the house? Was there any musical instruments?
We had the piano growing up. I grew up in Hoboken in New Jersey, so we had a piano. And we were really lucky in that way. And we always had a guitar hanging around. And then I studied flute in my grammar school years. So I probably picked that up at around 11, I don't know, 10, something like that. I don't know how old I was. I didn't start playing bass until I was probably around 20. But I instantly could play. Like, I picked up a bass and I was in a band immediately. Like, it just kind of happened. And that first band was called Gut Bank.
Can I ask you about the piano thing? Did you have the nightmare with the piano teacher?
I did. I mean, she was very sweet, but I had no interest in playing that kind of, like, I just wasn't, I'm not a good student. I don't think I was ever really a good student. I mean, I did okay in school, but I just wasn't, a lot of that stuff didn't interest me, so learning how to play what somebody else wanted me to play was not interesting to me.
Even the flute thing?
And that was a little bit different, I think, because I had, when I was in, like, the high school band or the junior high school band, there was a teacher who was not, he was much younger than a lot of the teachers that I had had in the past, and he was, like, he was super, he understood the music of the day, right? So he was... He just sort of brought, like, a more lively sense of, like, some funk. And, he even, like, wrote his own music. He composed music that the band played. So it was a lot more fun for me to play in that sense. And then I did dabble a little in guitar, and I still dabble a little in guitar, and I don't know why. Like, I can practice every day, and I never seem to get better.
What was the first record you bought with your own money?
I think it was, like, the B-52s. I don't even remember. It might have been the first one. It was, like, yellow cover. I was probably, like, 17 or 18 at that point. I didn't have, like, a lot of money growing up. So, you know, we were comfortable, but I didn't really have, like, extra for, you know, making big music purchases or anything.
What was the first gig you saw?
The first gig I saw, well, that's a tough question, because I grew up down on the street from a club called Maxwell's in Hoboken, and I would just go there all the time. So I'd seen so many bands, and that was probably like one of the first places that I went to see live music.
You didn't go to any no arena rock shows?
No, I was afraid of crowds, so I didn't, even though I was like 10 minutes away from Madison Square Garden, I actually didn't go to the Garden until I was in my 30s to see shows, and the first show I went to see was Kiss in the Garden, and I was like 30-something years old, which was pretty funny. But,
and you said you started bass at 20 years old. And you were right that you were in a band right away. Now what made you pick bass?
I always felt connected to that instrument, and I really wanted to, you know, explore something different. I've always written music in my head, and I think I just needed a vehicle, you know, to write it on. Which guitar would have made more sense, but I picked bass, and I did. I was in a band with a woman called Karen Cool, and she was in both Gut Bank and Sex Pod. Those were my first two bands, and we'd met in Montclair State College in New Jersey, and she's like, oh, it's just so hard to find a bass player. And then that weekend I had gone out to a club, I think it was the Mud Club in New York City, and I saw this band called ESG, and I was like,
great band.
You know what? I think they're amazing band.
I think they were all sisters and then a cousin, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I just felt really inspired after that show, and I kind of walked away feeling more empowered, and it honestly, you know, I just really felt like I could do it, and I could do it, so I did it.
I remember their first record. It was great. ESG, Emerald, Silver, and Gold. Kind of moody, kind of moody, yeah. Bass and drums and I was thinking about flute. You know what blues song has a lot of flute in it? Canned Heat going out to the country. There's flute all over that thing.
That's crazy.
That guy, I think he was from Boston or something, but man, he knew the blues. I think he died in Topanga Canyon of Kongsack on Downs accident. Reds or something. But let's get back to you. Okay, what was your first bass?
My first bass was, I think it was like some Sears model, like, what do you call this? Like, not a secondhand shop, like a pawn shop. It was like some pawn shop bass. And then it didn't sound very good. And then eventually I saved up and I got, it was called a Vantage bass. It's some like Japanese style bass, which I actually still have. I'm giving it to a friend. And then after I outgrew that one, I got a custom made bass by this guy called Rinaldo in Union City, who he just sort of became a guy that I looked up to, and he's a luthier, and just played that bass, and it was amazing, and I played that for years, and now I've been playing a GNL for like 20 years, and it's my favorite bass. I don't need anything other than that.
And what about lessons? Did you take lessons?
I never did. No, I never took a lesson.
Okay, so autodidact. No, that's great. I'm just curious. I ask these questions to everybody, and especially bass. I'm kind of biased. I want to play some more of the Sex Pod you sent me. Foot on the Gas.
Right on.
The sensitive scaffolder speaks in a whisper, puts up and swears down, a worldwide web in the gob. Solace is the grounded skip, shady space to hide from the roof high magpies, which are really sweary bolts of sun-blocking bravado, flinching muscle dripping off the scaffold sky. The shy scaffold maker climbs inside to softly submerge in the perpetual skip. The skip that's deeper than words, which are really bouncing balls that never rest. In the rubbish is eternal peace, a chamber without echo. The shouts soften. Drills recede. On relaxing rubble and soothing broken window frame, splinters stab a heavenly pain. On shattered bricks, the crumbs of which sweeten up the skin. Beneath, a life beneath the ground. Bring wood and twisted girders and tuck them in. Sleep tight. Bring up to the chin the freshly laundered sheet of leaded glass. The rub of dreams keep pouring in. The world is a skip, and they are many, and we are done.
あれは本当か、幻か、私だけが知っていた。
いや。
だけどどうやってあそこへたどり着けるのかわからない。見覚えのある場所。
Yes.
いつも知っていたあの聖地。
Yes.
それでも気がついた。あれは本当じゃなかった。あれは私の夢の中に存在していただけ。あれはいつもあんな一緒にいたんだ。私の秘密のチャイナタウン。
prisoners and grow up with a dream that I drove. Powerless in seconds, and struggle seconds, living off demons, standing on stools under nooses. Reading aloud their repentance from that boy's craft from being rooted. From the University of Heaven. Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. Start off that chunk of music with Sex Pod, Foot on the Gas. Then from XV, I Used to Have a Perfect Mouth. Eric Don Lyle and Vice Cooler. Erica. And Vice Cooler with Kathleen Hanna doing Mirror Ball. That's brand new. Noemi Bucci with Talking So Loud. Schooner out of Canada with Proto. Angry Silence with Dark End of the Street. Midex featuring Akiko Matsuura Set to Work. April Clocks with the Gentle / I'd Rather Be Dreaming. Then Part 1, The Chairman's Portrait. Part 1 of the Satanic Slumber Party. This is Tropical Fuckstorm and King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Rubber O Cement. It's in this fucking title. Changing a NASA D. Carl Raider, Gasket in Utero, A Rec Space B Utero Oof, Delt Echo. That's a fucking title. Rubber O Cement. I just saw Grux last week. And then finally, Sean Pony Heath with East of Eighth. That's a perfect Sugui. Okay. So, Sean, you're next. Please bring your earliest musical memory.
My earliest musical memory. So I'm from South Africa originally, and I grew up on a small holding where my grandfather had a plant nursery. And I remember walking through the plants, and I would hear the women that would work on the plant nursery singing, and they'd be like far away from each other, and they'd just be harmonizing. So that's some of the earliest memories. And in this grandfather, in the front room of his house, my grandmother had a big black piano. And then when all of the family was fighting with each other in the other room, I'd be sitting in front of the piano, plonking away at it. That's my first memory.
Now, did you have the piano teacher thing that Alice did?
So when I was about 8 or 9, my grandfather bought me a piano because I had in my mother's house, we had I don't know if you know it, a Hammond chord organ.
Sure.
Where the one where you had to plug it in, switch it on, and wait for the tubes to warm up before it would make a sound.
Sure.
So I started on that, and then I went to the primary school I went to. My mother had found me a piano teacher, and they started me off training classically, but I didn't have any interest in doing the theory part of it. So the teachers just continually got sick of me from not doing my theory homework and playing by ear. And and then I went on to light music instead of classical. And so that's me.
No, a lot of people on the show have very bad experiences with the piano teacher thing. Some people, it almost chased them away from music, you know? Let me ask you this. First record you bought with your own money, please.
First record I bought was based on the cover. It was a CD, and it was... the artist is called Corona, and the song is... The album was called... This is the Rhythm of the Night, and it was a techno record, and I bought it purely because there was a beautiful black woman on the cover laying on purple satin with a giant purple ring on her finger, and that was my first record.
Wow. And what was the first gig you saw?
So growing up in South Africa, once again, access to live shows and that kind of stuff is different than here, but the first big international act I saw was my aunt took me to go see Dr. Alban. And it was huge, and I lost my shoe. I think I was 8.
Only one shoe, huh? Okay.
Yeah, and somehow on the way out of the gig, the guy at the door, they had found my shoe and handed me my shoe. I got my shoe back.
Oh,
so I watched the whole gig without my shoe, and then I got my shoe back.
you just lent it out to him for a little bit.
Yeah, I had my issues there.
Now, what about after school? I'm not talking about graduating, but in the afternoon, did you basement band, bedroom band, garage band?
Alice
jumped ahead on that, so she told me about just getting into that. But did you do that?
Yes, I when I was in my teens, I was in a couple of very unsuccessful rock bands, and we had at my mom's house we had like a it was a garage, but it was it's more of like a just a roof, just like a covering for a car to park underneath, and we would play there because it was a small holding, so we could be extremely loud with no care to the neighbors.
Great. So,
and we played horrible rock music. But
and what instrument? Were you on piano or organ?
No, there I was just the vocalist, and then but I would very poorly try to write on guitar. And then the other guy would refine the work. And then I would just be standing there overexerting my vocals.
It was only a it was just a duet?
No, it was a full band. There was a bassist, there was a rhythm guitar, there was a lead guitar, there was drums.
What was this band called?
Okay, its first iteration was Beth. So Nick Cave wrote a book called And the Arsehole, the Angel, and one of the main characters is Beth, and we named the band after that, and then some members left and we felt we need to change the name, and it was called Beautiful Disgrace, and then some members changed again, and then the drummer, who's a complete idiot, he said he wanted to call the band Splooch. So that was the last iteration. Super cool, you know, because what's your band name? Splooch. That really gets the ladies.
instant lady magnet.
Magnet.
So
obviously that didn't go very far because Splooch and lights didn't work.
But this is South Africa time, right?
Yeah.
So when do you come here?
Yeah. I came to America when I was 23, so that was maybe like in 2008.
Okay.
So, it's weird though, because when I came to America, it's the sense of celebrity or musicians and just famous people. It's different there than here, because here you run the possibility of, because I came to New York City. And I accidentally once headbutt Rufus Wainwright. And for me, coming from South Africa, it's like you don't run into these people.
Or get to headbutt them.
It's very strange. Yeah, I was going through my bag, walking into a coffee shop, and I didn't see where I was going. And I headbutt someone accidentally, and I look up, and it's Rufus Wainwright. Oops.
Man, people, at least you were looking through your sack. I hate people like they're looking at their leash. Right? People are so addicted to these things. I can't believe it. And it's not just electronic nerd people. It's like your average Joe has got the leash and his eyes glued. They got to whoop them out every spare second they got. And I think it's the reason why... I just did 2 months of tour, and the driving was so bad, and I think it's part of it. They got their leash. That's why they're not using turn signals, too.
Yeah.
You can't hold the wheel and the leash and use the turn signal at the same time. So what, we got to put policemen in every car to keep people from doing this? Yeah. They're probably doing it. Yeah, I don't mean to sound like... the old guy who's running after the trains. You're going too fast! I mean, I know things come. But I'm just happy to hear that you were searching through your sack and not tied to your leash.
Yeah, I was looking for
I was looking for my leash. You were looking for your leash. Yeah, okay, look, we're at the end of the first hour, May 11th, 2022. Birthday edition.
Yeah.
Rock Pedro Show, Brother Matt. Hold tight for hour 2. May 11, 2022. 2022. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
boots. African boots.
Lot for Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Alice Genesee, Save Me. And then Lee Scratch Perry featuring LSK, Many Names of God, Blood Quartet, brand new, with Counterclock World, Terremoto with Implant Jammer, Floating Problems, A Bean Counters, Apologia. Yeah, fuck that up. Further set, Dakota, Origin, O-R-O-G-E-N, people. These people are too sophisticated for me. Societal Eye, Ray Shin with Put Your Blinders On, and Sean Pony Heath with Hallelujah. I still love you. So now I want to get to the part of the show where we learn how you guys got together and started making music.
I was introduced to Alice by her brother, who I met her brother because I was yelling at him about flying a drone. And and I didn't appreciate him taking pictures with the drone. So I was yelling at him, and then later we became friends, and then he introduced me, and he said, you know, I have a sister, and she's a musician, and maybe you guys should meet up and, you know, try and work on some stuff. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, everyone has a sister who's a musician, you know, and she's
I don't.
Very, she's
I have two sisters,
fine.
And they're not musicians.
She has aspirations of being a singer, and she needs a piano player. That's basically what he said. So I was like, yeah, yeah, whatever. I didn't push the subject. Eventually, like months later, I did meet her, and we became friends. And I had no idea. I had no idea the career this woman has had or her ability. And we just were friends, and it never really, the music thing, we talked about music we liked, but never about, like, oh, let's try something together. That only happened, like, a while after. And then eventually, I don't know who said it, but we were like, let's just hang out and just, you know, I hate the word jam, but let's jam. I'm not a jam musician. But yeah, and we got together and started trying to write.
I don't think we tried. I think we did, right? And, you know, when we first started, Pony lugged over his 9,000... pound piano across the lake, and we sat in my living room, and he played piano, and I was playing bass, and we wrote a tremendously sad song, and then we both crying by the end of it. We looked at each other, and we're like, "All right, well, I guess if we can write together. We can write songs together." And
that was the first time you guys. Well, you don't jam, but you did music together.
Let's say jam, yeah.
Okay.
We wrote a song, yeah.
And the 9,000-pound piano?
it's a Kurzweil PC3X. So it's a digital stage piano, but it's like a motherfucker. It's like the keys are wooden, and it's weighted, and it's taller than I am.
Also, it's electronic.
Yeah, it's electronic, but it has, like, the keys are actually wood.
Wow.
So it's like spelunking. It's like a dragging a log over to Alice's house to go work on some music, you know?
Okay. Was that a regular thing, or that was just the first time? Like, fuck this, I'm going to use a little Casio.
Yeah, no, fuck this. We actually decided that we're going to... Because we are very inadequate guitar players, we decided, let's play on guitars. They're significantly easier to carry. And, you know, four chords, actually three chords, and you got a song. So
hey, I'll let you know a secret. TVI by the Stooges is one chord.
Really?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Right?
Amazing.
An A7, right?
I'm
Keep on Tubling is Creedence song, right? That's E7. I think Lime in the Coconut by Harry Nilsson is C7.
So what you're saying is, I don't even need a guitar. I just need one goddamn string.
Yeah, one fucking chord. Some songs have one chord, believe it, because everybody makes fun of the Ramones, right? Three chords and all this. But there's actually been some real big hits that are just one chord.
Yeah. So that's like, maybe that's part of the way we wrote. It was also kind of like an equalizer between the two of us. And sometimes if you're too proficient on an instrument, sometimes it gets in the way of just writing a simple, good song.
Absolutely.
Like, it's that thing creatively speaking, if there's a boundary or certain parameters that you have to work within, you tend to think in ways you might have not thought if you just had, you know what I mean? So, and I think...
Example number one, fusion.
Yeah.
What songs come out of that shit? It's just a bunch of you know. We don't even have to discuss that, right? It's my biggest nightmare is becoming one of those guys. Okay, let me ask you the first gig that you did together.
We've only done one, so far. Yeah.
Well, what about that one?
It's a really new project. So we played at the Danny Clinch Gallery in Asbury Park.
Danny Clinch, the photographer. Songs. You're talking about the photographer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yep.
I know him.
Yeah.
He's taken my picture a few times.
He's amazing.
You can check out the gallery.
Okay, and he's so you played the gallery. How did it go? Did you bring the 9,000-pound fucking Kurzweil or what?
I brought McGee.
Okay.
And we were, the two of us were playing, because it was a stripped down acoustic set.
Yeah.
So it was, by stripped down, I mean we stripped.
Oh, you were naked.
Musicians, guitar players, like they were all gone. It was just Alice, me, and two guitars, and a whole bunch of bravado. And Sherry.
a little bit of Sherry.
Sherry, what do you mean, the liquor?
Yeah.
Okay.
It makes your
Pony's throat coat of choice.
So it sounds like a success.
Pony's throat coat of choice. Yeah, I mean, it was a great day. We did three sets, though. Pony did a set of just Pony on piano, and then I did a set with the guys that I used to play with in my band in Hoboken, and then Pony and I did a set together of Stars music. We did all five songs from our EP, and it was actually a really great day. I was terrified because, again, I'm not really a guitar player, and then I felt really on the spot, and I think Pony probably felt the same, but we did well, and it was a great crowd. I mean, it was packed. They said that it was spilling out the door, so
is that how you pronounce it? Of Stars?
Of Stars.
Okay, so it's not an acronym.
Nope.
No.
Okay. Of Stars.
Of Stars. Like OF?
Like OV.
Yeah, I understand. I understand.
Yeah.
Not that stupid. Like, I'm kind of stupid. Not that stupid.
Well, apparently we are.
No.
We can't even spell OF.
I was just trying to make like equivalents. I understand they're spelled differently, but okay.
Yeah, it's like it's that thing where our name, are we pretentious or just dumb?
Oh wow.
Could be a little of both.
Okay.
I mean, really, of is a nod to my bandmate in Psychic TV, Genesis Purich, and it was a Jen always used of OV in place of of, and you know, Pony has pointed out several times that, you know, also referring to the ovum, the beginning, and egg.
You know,
referring
to self. Creation.
So
Okay.
So was it not for me? It was a nod to my, you know, my bandmate. So
I like it. I like it.
Look. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, time for Brother Matt's spin cycle.
Uh-oh. shall I be free when I shall cease to be? No more I dream in perfect harmony. When shall I be free when I shall cease to be?
I thought it was going great. It stopped them chunky jam.
I'm talking to you, man. Man, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Brother Matt, for the 21 B-Day anniversary edition of the Spin Cycle. Please,
my pleasure.
Enlighten us to why you did what you did.
My pleasure. I took the theme of No Direction. I grabbed the CD, and it was called No Direction, and so that started us off. I had some Spike, because that Spike record from Craig Ibarra is
right.
Righteous. So
which
have,
is about Pedro, right?
Yeah, all Pedro bands here. It's 17 potential agitators making waves in the harbor area. Another fitchin' creation from Craig Ibarra. That guy makes all kinds of cool shit happen.
Water under the bridge.
Yeah. Runs. Yeah. So that's definitely a cool one to check out if you haven't already.
He runs it out of the fucking dean.
I think so. Yeah. 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 So that's awesome. Another cool thing happening at the Sardine.
Yeah.
Then
Pacific 11th Street people have never in Peter.
Be there. I had some Desert Sessions in there, and then a Slip Spangle because of the splooge. and had some Beef Heart in there to wrap it up. Something else.
Yeah, yeah. So
happy anniversary.
Yeah. 21 years.
21 in the bag. I haven't done too many things that long. So thanks for letting me be a part of it.
Oh, Brother Matt, thank you. Bringing your skills from the blue shift. Remember, in a way, this is the fallout from that.
Yeah.
Or the reverb, the echo from that show.
Yeah, yeah, all the old days.
All my KXLU experiences, and thank you so much.
Pleasure is thank mine, you. Brother.
May 11, 2022, hold tight for hour three! May 11, 2022, it's the third hour of the Watch for Pedro show.
Today I woke up and put on my funeral boots. I walked out and sat by the ocean. I found myself thinking of you. The mud from your slumber still kicked on my funeral boots. Still wondering what you would think of this world and these blundering fools. I've never known anyone quite like the pain.
Watch for Pedro Show. Start off the third hour with Alice Genesee, Jeff Byrne, John Weingarten. I guess this is XPTV3 with Funeral Boots. And then Crane with Rebirth of Mother Gaia. Kurt Stifel and the Swing Shift. Paul Osler just recorded this. Happy to Help. Mike Pride with part 2 of 2. Mike Pride's Scene Fucker number 5. And then Dear Eyes. Oomph Stars. Okay. So tell us about this EP.
You go first. That's how we record. That's how we do this.
Yeah. No, when we started writing, we didn't write with any agenda or an intent to record or write a specific body of work. We just were hanging out and writing, and it also happened through the pandemic, but we had a standing day of the week, which was Tuesdays, where we would always get together and try and write, or like, just hang out and talk, and like, so it was a kind of talk therapy through music, basically. And at some point, Alice just said, you know, why don't we just record? Like, she feels that it's the right time. Let's just do a single. So we picked 2 songs and we went into the studio G in Brooklyn.
Oh, Tony Mamone.
Yep, Tony's face.
Big hero of mine. I recorded my third opera there. And Joel Hamilton. Lovely. Yeah, his partner. Yeah. Was it the old one or the newer one?
It's the newer space. Okay. It's around the corner from that beer garden. Oh, what street are they on now? I can't remember.
I've recorded at both of them.
But they're expanding, too. You know, they're opening up an entire new floor. I mean, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, you know, I've dug him since he was a bass player for Parobu.
Amazing. Yeah. Me too, the same. And he's an amazing, he's just a lovely human.
Yeah.
I really enjoy when I get to see him.
Miri cool. And Milo, right? The son. There's a little boy now. Maybe he's 12.
Yeah, you're great.
Because I remember when he came. Like, I was doing my third opera, Hyphenated Man. So, now you had one song when you first got together, right? Where does Dear Eyes fit in?
Dear Eyes, it was that. So there's a picture on Alice's wall. I don't know if she even knows this. But
she doesn't.
She doesn't know this. But it's a picture of a woman. She has red flowers around her neck. And while we were writing it, I was looking at that, and I was going through something personally. And it just, that kind of deer in headlight feeling.
I was going to say, when I was a little boy, I was with my mother in upstate New York, and a stag jumped in the road, and his eyes got lit up by our headlights. And he charged us and wrecked the car. He got killed.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I was just a little boy.
So maybe that's, like, how... So if you can look at it, it's, like, even, like, that stag is, he's in the headlights. He's in danger, but what does he do? He goes for it anyway.
Right. Because it freaks him out, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, like, fuck it, I'm fucked anyway, so let's just go be a, like, if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly. And maybe, like, in an emotional or a spiritual way, we do that in our lives sometimes. And but it's just an instinct that happens. And I think that song, it's a little darker than the rest of the songs on the EP. But we also have, there's an homage on the production-wise to where I come from. So the drum beat's more of a tribal beat.
Yeah.
So, which talks to older cultures, talks to older history, and, like, kind of tipping your hat to the people that came before you and went balls to the wall and failed and fucked up, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you one thing about the grizzlies. You can climb a tree. You can climb a tree to get away. They can't climb trees because they can't close their hands. Yeah. But brown bears, black bears, they'll climb up the tree and get you. But a grizzly, that's one way to... You know, well, grizzlies are... They're giant. I mean, they are really big. And the other guys are, like, more our size. Scott Ashton, the drummer of the Stooges, hit me to this stuff. But look, I'm gonna play some more from this record. Better Things, okay? And then the what do you call it? The eponymous song, right?
Dog outside, but I don't know his name, and he doesn't know mine, so it's all just the same. I reach into my pocket, there's a picture of you, there's a telephone number of I don't know who. I can't seem to remember much of last night, but I know we had fun.
Stop wondering. I'm not scared. Oh, I
make awkward, tiny, weird whistle, and a bunny just proceeds to run away.
I tried.
You know the difference between the difference between a rabbit and a hare.
No.
Yeah.
Rabbits have their babies in a hole in the ground, and hares have them upside in bushes and stuff. Top.
I
top. Yeah.
Had no idea.
Yeah, jackrabbits are actually hares, and here's how you can. Here's how crazy. You know, when I moved to Pedro here from Virginia, there was a dairy next to the Navy housing. And they had all kinds of jackrabbits. You know the way, I didn't know how to call them with a whistle or anything, but if you startled them, all you had to do was stay still because they make a big, huge loop. They're not the smartest of animals. They'll come back. Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Let me tell the people what we heard. Better Things of Stars than Live in Marfa, Texas, part 2 of 2 with Galexisy featuring Jonathan Horn and Lisa Cameron. Then finally, Of Stars with the song Of Stars. So is that like the story of the band?
It kind of is the story of how that band was named. It was a song where we decided we were going to write a country song. We were just like, oh, we're going to write a country song now. So I grabbed the guitar and just started playing. We started writing and singing and, you know, it became Of Stars. We were born of stars, and I don't think it was that day, but probably like a week or two later. We did have a working title for the band, which was terrible. Yeah. And we won't tell you what it was or anyone ever.
Okay.
At least it wasn't splooge.
Okay, what about better? Let's get into Better Things.
So that there's an unintentional like hero's journey on the EP that we didn't intend to be there, but it's just there. So it starts with Of Stars, and that's kind of like, we don't know where we are, but we know we're made of stars. There's something of value there. And then we go through the valley, and at the end of it, we wanted to leave people with a sense that there is hope. So there's better things. Let's just cheers to better things. And, you know, that was kind of like a trying to write a bit of an uplifting song, because everything else is sad.
But you know what? Also, I think we were sort of seeing, you know, we were... I'm not going to say we were coming out of the pandemic because we're obviously still in a pandemic, but we were out more, and people, you know, society was getting back to, you know, whatever, I hate saying new normal, but whatever normal is now.
Oh, I hate that word normal.
It's so fucking
I really hate that word normal. I hate it.
Yeah. Well, I've never been normal.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Normal, so,
I feel like it was a hammer that people beat me with when I was young.
Yeah.
Now,
exactly.
They don't want to beat me with it now that we're... would you call the record a document?
I do think so, yes. I would absolutely call it a document. And in fact, one of the reasons I was so keen on recording was that I did want to document this period of life, because I don't know, you know, I'm at an age, like, I feel like I lose a friend every week at this point, and I just was like, I want this saved. I want this music out there in the world. I'm really proud of it. It was something, you know, it was a struggle for both of us to pull out, because it is emotional, and we do have to trust each other tremendously and able to write the way that we write. And there were tears, and sometimes there were fights, and that there was a lot of laughter, and, you know, and this really incredible friendship. Like, there were times where I just felt really, you know, like, if I didn't see Pony for a week, I just couldn't wait for the next week, you know? I feel like we sort of saved each other emotionally in a lot of ways, and spiritually in some ways as well.
We were a touchstone for each other.
Yeah.
During this not-so period, it was... Like, just some way, there's, you know, there's going to be one day of the week that it's actually going to have some value, that there's someone there that you can just check in with, and it's going to be okay.
You know, I've been using this word, a lifeline. Do you believe music is a lifeline?
Yes. Yes, no hesitation.
Yeah.
For me, absolutely.
There's something about
it. I'm miserable when I'm not writing a plan. Like, absolutely, truly miserable.
And what's the next plan?
We're performing with a full band on June 30th in Brooklyn at Red Hook Labs, which is part of the First Posthumous Art Exhibit bit by Genesis and Lady J. Guyer Peerage. So for me, it's a really meaningful event. And we do have Jeff Berner on board as a guitarist. So it's also going to be a little mini PTV homage to Genesis as well. I'm actually really looking forward to playing as a full band. We're going to have visuals by Sam Zimmerman, who also did visuals for Psychic TV. So it should be an incredible, you know, hopefully will be an incredible night for all of us to remember.
What about tour?
I think we're sort of taking this one step at a time. Like, we're going to play with a full band. And just because of where we've been at, I mean, I know you've just been on a tour.
48 gigs in 48 nights.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. You did that.
Well, come on, we learned from Black Flag. They did 100 gig tours. They would do like 3-month tours.
Crazy. I mean, you know, I haven't been out on a 6-week tour in years. Like, you know, it's like a TV. Because, you know, Jen was sick for several years. We just had really short hops. We would do like 2 weeks and come home, and we, you know, we'd have to have a day off after flying just so that Genesis could catch a breath. And, you know, so it was, I haven't done a 30 and 30 in a long time.
That's okay.
Really long time.
Please tell the people where they can find you on the internet.
You can find us on all the digital platforms.
But there's no Of Stars.
Of Stars Band.
There's no Of Stars website.
We're just working on it now. It's more of like a shop, like a web shop.
And what's the URL?
Called ofstarsband.com.
OVSTARS.com?
Band.
Oh, yeah. OVSTARSBAND.com.
Correct.
Okay. It's been righteous to have you aboard. Up next week, okay. Really an honor for me and Brother Matt to have you on board. Thank you so much. When you guys get another record, will you please come back on the show?
Oh, we'd love to.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
Yes, thank you so much. It's been great.
Anniversary show. Anniversary show, that's right. Thank you so much.
Happy birthday.
Please keep on keeping on. We will too. People, it's been May 11, 2022. This is Watt Peters, who keep your powder dry.